Hello, this is day 14 of a 30-day journey into stillness. In today's increasingly global infrastructure, on just about every level, politically, socially, communication through the internet. It is neither wise nor very practical to use retreat alone as our means of spiritual maturation and practice. Although it is very important to create stillness and space in a world that seems so incredibly fast-paced and noisy and chaotic. It's in stillness that we come to know who we are in God. Like Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Be still is the instruction, followed by a knowing. So we learn to love who we are in God. We learn to know who we are in God. So this is the first commandment in the Judeo-Christian tradition: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your basically with everything you have. And this is our intention, our foundational intention, and our yearning, the yearning heart that wants nothing but that. Who love God. So there are more modern ways of saying this. This be still and know that I'm God. And the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And Thomas Hubel is one of these spiritual teachers who has traveled this journey. And he calls this vertical alignment with God. And he said this comes first. And then he refers to the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, as the horizontal. But the vertical alignment comes first, or we are caught in the drama of looking for God outside of ourselves. We're looking for God in the other, whether that be an experience, even nature, another human being. And it is this looking outside of ourselves that leads our Western culture into, well, we could say it's a precursor to addictions, gross and subtle. So unless we're willing to be still, to sit within an intelligence that knows that we are held within God, that we are non-separate from that, in that vertical alignment, then when we relate to the other, we're going to do it through the needs of the separate self. And then it won't be clean. It will be, I will be trying to get some form of validation or security from you in this way of relating. When we seek outside ourselves, we carry a weight, we carry a burden, and we place it on the other as an expectation. And Jesus called this trespassing. We trespass on another. We expect that they fulfill our needs. So it isn't a very clean way of relating to the other. It's not a spiritually fruitful one. So this horizontal alignment, this second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, extends from the heart. It extends from the very place where we know who we are in God, where we know through experience. My experience is that love is pulled from me during an authentic encounter with another. It may be latent within us both, and then it awakens in response to our willingness to engage in sacred dialogue. Dialogue that's not founded in our separate selves trying to get their needs met. We are then participating in the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But it is not my separate self loving your separate self, but God's love within me being pulled out of me, and likewise for you. Essentially, we are becoming each other into love. We are pulling from each other that beingness part of ourselves that only knows ourselves in God. Only knows ourselves as God. And as in yesterday's reflection, this whole idea of knowing ourselves, within God changes everything. So from this place, there's a relaxed way of relating to another. We no longer have to pay attention to some of these separative habits, the dualistic habits that our mind does. There is a Richard Rohr does a comparison of the calculative mind, that's the dualistic mind, right and wrong, black and white, And we're riddled with this. And until we see this, we're always judging. We're always, you know, there's this and there's that. Always this and that. And we keep, it keeps us really, really spinning. As I spoke of yesterday, in day 13 of this spinning action that has been translated as perverted, that Jesus in frustration says to his disciples, "Oh, you perverted generation," and he just meant spinning. And we spin in dualism. Dualism and the calculative mind can never ground us in being. What grounds us in being is what's called, what Richard Rohr calls, the contemplative mind. This is the mind of the heart. That is capable of contemplating God in every moment, and it only wants to sit there. And the more we sit there, the more we experience this state of equanimity, peace, even bliss, but just an okayness, a divine, all is well. I think it was Julian of Norwich, the mystic from the 14th century, who said, "All is well, and all is well, and all is well." And that reverberates through the heart and the contemplative mind over time of visiting it, allowing ourselves to let go of everything, this kenotic action, this self-emptying action, letting go of anything that isn't in this place. And then we come to realize that we're only designed to be in this place where the vertical and the horizontal meet, where when we speak to someone, they receive a blessing, and when someone speaks to us, when they're heart-centered, they're aligned with God, with each other, through God, then our dialogues become blessings. We could be talking about how to make a good cup of tea. But our engagement on an energetic level is one of profound appreciation of all of life, including the tea, including the person we're dialoguing with, including the beautiful mug we may be having our tea out of. So the heart of that is ignited in the stillness, and then as it comes forward, as this love is ignited and comes forward, there's huge gratitude just for the most simple things. So gradually, as we let go this driven quality, there's a drivenness to the separate self. It has to get somewhere. It has to. And we take that, and when we begin spiritual practice, we take that and it becomes quite a burden and a weight in our spiritual practice. So we have to be aware that we will try to do our spiritual practice in the same vein that we've done everything as a separate self. So we'll bring in comparison and competition and judgment and fear. And that's actually good when we know that and we see these. And again, from the center of the head. We can clearly see the habits where we shut love out, where love is always present. This divine connection to all of life is always present, but I'm always somewhere else. And if we can see that clearly from a non-judgmental place, from the center of the head, where we are setting ourselves up for this wonderful release or kenotic action, the letting go action that I mentioned in yesterday's reflection, this kenosis, self-emptying. But if I don't know what self, what habits of separated self are constantly impeding my knowing myself in love or in God, being still and knowing who I am in God, then I'm doing a pretend game. If I don't really see where I trip up, but I can't see it with judgment. I can't fault myself, and none of us can. We have to see the kind of spiritual dearth we've grown up in this culture. We've really been let down, not to say we're victims, but by and large, by the church and by our structures and by the families, we've chosen to pay no attention to this profound depth we all share together. And it's causing us deep repercussions. Severe ones in the last 50 years, we've lost 40% of the Earth's species through climate change and interference with their habitat. That's staggering. And we still don't know how to get along with each other. On the home front, we're divorcing. And on the national front, we're still caught into grips, and some of us still killing each other. But even in spite of all this, if you really feel into that stillness, all is well. In spite of all this evidence to the contrary. So it's both end. You could say we've, as a collective, lost our way. And yet in every moment where we're willing to turn towards who we are in God, when we realize that we want that more than anything else, it's right there. And sometimes it takes this kind of pressure, global pressure, personal pressure, to fuel our turning. Towards God. So, please allow yourself to sit for 10 minutes or move with awareness that's been sparked in this reflection. Thank you again for your time and your willingness.